This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of World Watchers, program number 803. And I'm detailing for you an article in the San Jose Mercury printed just yesterday, Sunday, the 26th of April, written by Frank Grieve, Matthew Purdy, and Mark Fazziola regarding two gentlemen who set up a corporation in conjunction with the Defense Department. And for the first time, Gary Howard and Ronald Tucker, who managed a company in Dallas, Texas called Peregrine, are revealing the modus operandi of how the Defense Department uses private persons to set up agencies and to kill heads of states, such as Ayatollah Khomeini. They weren't successful in that, but we don't know who else they killed. They were training with a lot of commando techniques, and those are for the purpose of killing. Besides meeting with Lieutenant General Samuel Wilson, they met with Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Long. As I said, he was a part of the top secret. He is part of the top secret military intelligence unit called Foreign Operations Group, FOG. Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Long's group was part of Army's intelligence support activity, which is said to work with the Central Intelligence Agency. Long would be the liaison of the defense to the CIA, and it provides intelligence and deep cover laundered money for secret U.S. military missions abroad, which I am sure included Nguyen Bank, as well as many of the other banks that Oliver North and the Contragate, Iran Gate persons tap into and connect with. General Wilson and General Long told Mr. Howard and Tucker what they could do, what they couldn't do. Gary Howard has been a deputy sheriff in Texas since 1984. Their corporation stopped. Peregrine stopped in 1984. All their sanctions came from the term, they used the term mother, which is all-inclusive. And mother meant for them an okay from the State Department, the CIA, and the Defense Department giving assurance that they wouldn't stand in their way and suggesting what they should do. In the book, The Man Who Kept the Secrets by Thomas Powers, it's a book about Richard Helms. Chapter 8 describes in that book how Richard Helms was so disgusted with the hearings, the Senator Hurt Church hearings in 1975 regarding covert actions and political assassinations. And he said, Senator Church kept asking questions of such hypocrisy. He said he understood these things. He said they knew why the written record was so thin. They understood the CIA didn't really care who ran Cuba or Indonesia or the Congo, that they knew that the president alone made the decisions, that when you watch the policies of the upper-level CIA officials, they worked for the president alone, and they never forgot it. And one could infer accurately what the president wanted by paying attention to what the CIA did. And again, the CIA is a major actor, but it goes from the president and the national security to the Pentagon. Then the Pentagon agents introduce these men to Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Long, who's the liaison to the CIA, and it works that way down from General Samuel Wilson and the DIA to Lieutenant Colonel Long to down to the CIA. And Wilson and Long then said, things that we tell you are cleared by mother. And that's exactly why Richard Helms was so disgusted at these hearings, because he knew that Senator Frank Church knew the difference. In fact, in the book Who's Who in the CIA, Frank Church is listed there, and they kept trying to bring it out. How much did the president know, again, at the time of Watergate? Where are the orders? Who gave the orders? Where's the piece of paper? And Helms said he had an irresistible urge to yell back at them, Senator, how can you be so GD dumb? You don't put an order like that in writing, Richard Helms said, and that you know by what they do that mother has told them to do it. And these men got a sanction, Mr. Howard and Tucker, from mother that was all-inclusive, but then has to come out of the White House, the NSC. So the State Department, CIA, and Defense Department say, if mother says it's okay, like Simon says, it's okay. Now, these men formed this Peregrine company and were given approval to kill Khomeini if they could. The plot didn't come through right. It fell apart. But I'm sure the plans are still there if we could get away with it. And they were assisted by active duty special forces personnel, in quotes, on leave again. And they make it quite clear that these are active duty special forces, in quotes, on leave. So if they are involved in killing Khomeini, they are on leave. They're not on a payroll. Again, like General Secord, he's not on the payroll of the Defense Department. they're on leave. And they said that personnel from the elite army counterterrorist unit called the Delta Force was the one they worked for who helped them. Personnel, in quotes, active duty on leave. Their goal was to make enough money through their contracts with foreign governments to keep enhancing their profits. These men were in a business. That's what it was. They could care less about the countries than they as much as say so. Lieutenant Colonel Wong knew Peregrine and some of their officials, the one from the Delta Force, and he took them to the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency or the Army's Deputy Chief of Staff for Intelligence, and that's how they began connecting. Peregrine firm drew most of its staff, according to this article, from an exotic professional circle, a pool of, again, retired special forces personnel familiar with secret military operations, veterans from the Delta Force counterterrorist unit, in quotes, retired. And this runs through the whole article that they were active duty, in quotes, retired. Howard and Tucker are West Texas lawmen. In 1981, before they formed this company, they worked for U.S. Customs Service from 1979 to 81, and their undercover work, their experience involved infiltrating illegal international arms deals, and they, as a reward, kept a percentage of it, and they were able to save $1.65 million. They sold a Boeing 707 of an arms dealer. That was their cut, and so they formed their company in 1981. Now, the year they formed their company and worked with the Defense Intelligence Agency and the assistant of Caspar Weinberg, again, of course, was the year that Ronald Reagan was president and began to escalate all these activities that are getting them in trouble today. The company's mission changed in 1981 as soon as it was incorporated. Government officials said you won't work on customs anymore. And then they were introduced to, again, a retired, in quotes, retired, who takes them to the Defense Department, Army Special Forces Major Richard J. Meadows, highly decorated Vietnam War commander who worked with General Singh Lauben, Z. Court, and Oliver North, and Theodore Shackley and Thomas Kleins, and Mr. Eugene Hasenfuss was the same gang from Vietnam. This team was set up in 1981 by Special Forces Major Richard J. Meadows. Meadows was hired then as the president of Peregrine's company. He was on the cover of Newsweek after slipping in Tehran in 1980, providing key intelligence for the failed rescue mission in Iran. Notice how many characters involved in allegedly trying to get the hostages out failed, thus assuring the presidency of Ronald Reagan and disgracing Jimmy Carter and having some of the Delta Force, they died out on the desert. Those circumstances were mysterious from the beginning, and he also was part of that rescue mission, so he worked hand in glove with the Contra-Iran persons, although they're not mentioned in this article except in one conjunction. Meadows arranged from his offices, this important person, retired Army Special Forces, arranged to meet his friend and mentor, Lieutenant General Wilson. He was the one, Mr. Meadows, who took these gentlemen to meet the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, the current advisor to Caspar Weinberger, and Wilson had ideas for this company, which involved, in quotes, he said, doing things that the government could not seem to be doing. Now, again, that's a quotation from a gentleman who works under Caspar Weinberger at the present time. The laws, the opinions, the morality of this country is worth nothing. Do what we couldn't admit we were doing and couldn't be seen doing, that is what they told him. The plans were laid out in Virginia that Peregrine would become a private arm of the Army Intelligence. The firm would develop plans for training foreign military groups battling terrorism, and they would still, if they want, pursue arms, undercover arms and narcotics work. Well, you know how they stopped the drug traffic in the countries where they worked. Peregrine, according to these men, was a model after British intelligence. There's a firm in London called Keeney Meaney, and you might have seen it in the Tower reports and the articles that came out. Oliver North, in his safe organizational papers, has a three initials with quotation marks, KMS, that mean Keeney Meaney, and I meant to do some broadcasts on it, but there's always so much news. Keeney Meaney is a Swahili word for a snake moving in the grass. And London has their own private army called the Keeney Meanies, and they're employed by British intelligence to do exactly what the others do in this country, to unofficially do operations that the official British presence would be embarrassed by if they were exposed and if they're arrested. One of the rules of the Keeney Meanies in London is that they're on their own. And that was a British firm that Oliver North hired. He used the Kinimines in Honduras and trained Central American fighting teams. And Oliver North paid them. And Peregrine, set out by the Defense Intelligence Agency and the Delta Force and Special Forces, was the American model of the Kinimines. Now, when Eugene Hasenfus was landed in Nicaragua, he sort of broke the mold, because the Kinimines and North's group and all of these covert actions under the guise of private parties, yet headed by the Defense Department, are always told, if you are arrested, you're on your own. Hasenfus broke the mold. He began to blab right away, and he mentioned George Bush, and he mentioned Mr. Gomez-Rodriguez and Mr. Cirilles. And, of course, the United States government immediately had to send former Attorney General Griffin Bell down to release Mr. Hasenfus. It was very nice that they let him out. Bell, I mentioned before, is the attorney and was president or is on the board of E.F. Hutton. And E.F. Hutton is one of the major repositories, or was, for the drug traffic, the cocaine money that went from not only from Italy, the pizza connections from the Medellin cartel, the cocaine connections, and, of course, I've said George Bush's brother-in-law, Scott Pierce, until just a few weeks ago was president of E.F. Hutton when all this drug money was being poured in there. So it was very important that Mr. Hasenfus catch a good lawyer. He got a good lawyer in Griffin Bell, the former attorney general, and for all purposes, and I don't know why they released him so quickly, there must going to be some favors for the Nicaraguan government. I can't believe why they would release Mr. Hasenfus so fast. But he certainly wasn't of the same ilk as the Kinimines. He started to squeal, but it paid off because he got out and he refused to be on his own. This article says that after the Washington meetings with Lieutenant Colonel Long, he provided the list of countries where Peregrine could and could not operate. And they were encouraged to work in the following countries. And one of the values of these people is that they can kill the opponents to the leaders of this country or help overthrow the countries. They were encouraged to work in Belize, in Chile, wipe out the opponents of Pinochet, in Costa Rica, where the Contras are, in El Salvador, helping the death squads get rid of the radicals or the land reform persons, in Guatemala, where the death squads continue, in Honduras, which is the haven for our intelligence community's war against Nicaragua, with the Nicaragua Contras they train to work in Morocco, in Nigeria, to kill the revolutionary or the labor persons objecting to that country. And the United States has recently literally taken over Nigeria, in Paraguay to assist Mr. Stroessner, I guess, to kill his opponents, in Peru, in Somalia, and Sudan. Those were where they were encouraged to work. And Peregrine agents were used as a cover, they said, for the United States government. Now, I know that Robert Brown, who published Soldier of Fortune, sends out mercenaries who are hired to do the job, such as Peregrine, and that Soldier of Fortune, managed and funded originally by John Singlaub, General Singlaub, and General Aderholt, is again a cover for the federal government. Singlaub is in and out of the Defense Department, the National Security Council, and under the guise of private money, as you're seeing, arms were being sent. When Congress says no, they say yes. So this agency set up in Dallas is one of many companies, and they said they believe they're one of many companies for the purposes they were doing. They knew that retired Army Special Forces Major Meadows, hired by Peregrine, they said, reported to Lieutenant General Edwin Wilson, former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, working for Caspar Weinberg at the present time. And Mr. Meadows, Army Special Forces Major Meadows, reported to Lieutenant Colonel Wayne Long's group, which is the Army's intelligence support activity working with the CIA. So out of a private office in Dallas, Texas, the man who came in to manage it, Major Richard J. Meadows, reported directly to the assistant to Caspar Weinberger and to Colonel Wayne Long, who was a liaison to the CIA. Peregrine's mission for the Defense Department was shaped by, in quotes, the retired Army Special Forces majors who Meadows hired for the firm to help him run the country. He brought in Major Charles Odorizzi, former director of selection and training for Delta Forces, and Major William Patton, a Latin American specialist. Peregrine used both retired and, they said, active duty personnel on leave. So it's, whether they call it retired or active on leave, they used them for what they called guns. And guns were persons that they hired who, they said, had no qualms about blowing people away. And if you read Gung Ho or Soldier of Fortune or Eagle, some of those magazines, you know that those same people have no qualms. It's a perfect place to recruit persons who have no problems with blowing people away. They said some of these activities would normally be prohibited under U.S. law, and they keep reasserting this, how they're working outside the U.S. law, but they're working with persons that report directly to what you would think were law-abiding citizens in Washington, D.C., but certainly are not at all. The U.S. military is a law unto itself. I've said this during the 23 years of research that I've done, going back to the period particularly after World War II, or even the illegal rearming of Germany, which was against the law in Germany, which was done by America and the German army, but looking the other way while the Freikorps were taking power and killing off opponents to political systems, opponents to fascism, and so forth, paving the way for Adolf Hitler. This is identical to that kind of a system, using the guns, people who have no qualms about killing, going overseas to recommended countries to either keep the dictatorship in power or getting rid of the person who is in power. They said our idea was to be like Delta and not leave anybody alive. If we found a communist cadre or terrorist cells in Honduras or whatever, the whatever is whatever, we'd eliminate them except for the people we want to interrogate or bring back for display. And then, of course, that involved torture and the display of heads cut off and hands cut off and so forth. The men said the most dramatic mission that Long and Wilson of the Defense Department urged was the original plan to kill Khomeini and overthrow the government. And the details of the plot are written up in September 1982, a Customs Service report on an investigation of an illicit arms sale. In 1982, this Meadows of the Defense Department, who's the president of the company, met in London with an Iranian Air Force Major, Masoud Yahya. And they were arranging small arms, explosives, ammunitions, so forth to kill Khomeini, but the plan fell through. It collapsed. The operations of Peregrine were eventually replaced by the Central Intelligence Agency, and it was no longer, their operation no longer continued for some reason or other. And from 1981 to 1984, they were working for the government. I have my feelings about why it switched in 1984, but they were replaced. And when Oliver North came in and took over his position in the National Security Council after attending the War College, the Navy War College, and working under Ronald Reagan, Reagan had been reelected as president and took 49 states. And then he started using active duty special forces personnel, according to them, disguised as civilians, training Honduran commandos with counterinsurgency techniques. And Howard and Tucker were also planning to send weapons to Peru. An interesting thing is in the article they say they wanted to send spare parts to Peru for the leftist Shining Path. There were Eastern Bloc military hardware. And I keep saying how Oliver North and General Secord were shipping Eastern Bloc weapons from Poland and Eastern Europe down to Honduras and to the Contras. And Mr. Hasenfuss had weapons from the Soviet Union on his plane when it went down. And these people wanted to supply the Shining Path Eastern Bloc military hardware. Of course, the reason is as they are killed or left behind, you find the Soviet weapons and you can show how important Russia is to Central and South America, and that all of these terrorists are using Russian weapons, and that's why we're there in the first place. Now, October 1982, Major Richard Meadows of the Special Forces left Paradigme, and according to this article, the reason he left remains mysterious. But in June 82 is when the Banco Ambrosiano scandal broke wide open. The P2 scandal broke in 1981, in May, June, late May and June of 81. And Bernard Calvi was hung in June of 82 in London. And a lot of things changed and happened at that particular time. Those 3 weeks in 1982, I detailed almost every day for 3 weeks on World Watchers the events that were happening, because a lot of changes were going to take place after June of 1982. And it may be that the funds and the connections had to be dried up. Just as I began the program with the Wall Street Journal story, the Vatican Bank and their Panama fronts, which the Vatican actually did control. And here's a new book out on the Vatican, Moon Mafia, CIA. And Robert Vesco had a lot of investments down there in Panama. and it is a nest for espionage and offshore funding and tangled accounts whereby a lot of these people could bump into each other. And maybe this is one reason Major Meadows left quickly in the fall of 82. There had to be financial shifts that affected a lot of different people. He told Howard and Tucker he would help them form a new company, but he didn't. And then Major Charles Odorizzi, former director of selection and training of Delta Force, suddenly resigned, and the operations officially stopped in 1984. And as I say, that's when North moved into the National Security Council, when North could tap into the AFL-CIO operations in South America or the banks in Switzerland. He could pull from the team that he worked with in Vietnam, General Secord, Thomas Kleins, and then pull in Stanford Technology with Albert Hakim and Theodore Shackley and General John Singlaub. What happened was that this old earlier team that had worked together in Laos, they had worked at the Bay of Pigs, they'd been in Vietnam, in Iran, and Chile. What happened was that companies, maybe others exactly like this Peregrine that we don't know about, all collapsed in 1984 as North combined his energy with the team that William Casey had worked with for a long, long time, even going back to the OSS days and right at the end of World War II, and the team that was involved actually with the drug traffic, gun running, political assassinations, so that this private company was no longer needed, and this team was more secure. It was 1983 when General Secord left the Air Force, left in quotes to go to Stanford Technology with Albert Hakim, that network set up by the original TCI, by Otto von Bolschwing, IIS company being taken over by Hakim and Secord. So I believe that many of these small companies were dumped on the side as they took the tried and trusted team, and they would have stayed together today if it hadn't have been for the Journal in Lebanon, probably for Hassan Fass landing, for Khashoggi and Furmark wanting their money. They may still be operating as they have for a long time, but circumstances came in and interrupted their operations, and now the team that replaced Peregrine and their associates, or many like them, has been pushed aside, and they are open for investigation. Now, there are so many important articles leading up to Irangate. I just want to mention a few of them that were in the news just recently. I can't detail some of them, but some I will outline in the future. But running them down quickly, I want to remind you of an article in the Salt Lake Tribune. This was February the 8th, 1987. Under Foreign Briefs report, Hamadi, H-A-M-A-D-I, and McFarlane had talks last year. In Bonn, West Germany, former U.S. National Security Advisor Robert McFarlane had talks in Beirut last year with a suspected Lebanese hijacker wanted by the United States. Quoting U.S. security sources, it said McFarlane met the wanted man Mohammed Ali Hamadi while on a secret mission trying to get the release of the hostages. Hamadi was arrested in Frankfurt, Germany, January the 13th, 1987. Arriving from Beirut, the United States wants to try him on charge of murder and air piracy coming from the hijacking of the TWA plane in Beirut in 1985, where an American passenger was killed. Robert McFarlane, the NSC, working with a person who is wanted for setting up the hijacking and the murder of an American citizen in Beirut. Another long article, these I can't break down. It would take an entire program for each of them. I'm going to read you mostly the titles because they're on pages 10 by 14. Again, they're not single little items. They're long stories. This one is titled, Pilot, I Flew Arms In and Pot Out. This is an article, April the 6th, 1967, from Newsday, written by Newt Royce, and it tells about bringing in tons of pot, pounds of pot, tons of pot, working with Max Gomez-Rodriguez, again, the contacts of George Bush, through his longtime associate, Donald Gregg. And this person who told this story was the subject of a CBS report also of Max Gomez-Rodriguez and Gregg and the gun running and CC Quintero and the narcotics trafficking coming in from Central America, the weapons going over to them and the narcotics coming out. There have been many long articles on that. Our attorney general is under some kind of surveillance or questioning. Finally, it's long overdue. April the 9th, 1987, Washington Post has a long story. Mises' testimony raises new questions. And, of course, this goes into his relationship with FBI agent Oliver Buck Rebel, with William Webster, who still has not been confirmed as CIA director. And this has to do with Mises stalling the investigations, taking orders literally from Admiral Poindexter, the National Security Advisor, to stay away from Southern Air Transport. And these writers now, Walter Pincus and many others, are writing long, long stories of the relationship of the Attorney General Ed Meese. He's also involved with a corporation and his longtime buddy, Lynn Nofziger, and his silent or secret trust fund. His agents representing his money are sitting on the board of a company under criminal investigation. That's how his secret trusts operate. Another long article, April the 12th on Sunday. I briefly mentioned this before. Reagan aides in 1980 held hostage talks. And this is about persons in Iran working with Reagan's top aides, promising or suggesting that they hold up the hostages until Reagan is elected president of the United States. And it involves Richard Allen. Many of you have seen this article. This is from the Miami Herald, Alfonso Chardy. It was in the San Jose Mercury. And if you don't have either of those papers, I will outline and detail that for you. The scandal of stealing the elections is one of the big stories they probably won't touch with Contragate, but is very, very important. Another article that most people should share and probably don't have is from the People's Daily World, April 14th, 1987. Wanted, murderers for CIA drugs and for gun deals, written by Tom Wheeler. And it came out of Willamette Week, a Portland, Oregon newspaper that said the CIA was recruiting known murderers and drug dealers for a project in Central America called Jamestown Project. And one of the persons they hired had a record, a murder conviction in 1960. And the reason they went to him is they said they want to know that he can do it if he has to do the killing. And this is a long article about Oliver North and his private operations on the side, using private financiers to put up money to supply networks and arms and trading for drugs. And it has to do with using a known killer or two or three for necessary jobs. Again, think of the guns that were hired in that other article I just shared with you. And this has to do with a company in Las Vegas, a consulting firm called Irwin Pardue and Associates. And the job was under Project Director Central America. They would paid $3,000 a month, plus $75 offshore per diem. And I'll detail this for you. This is wanted murderers, known murderers, to work for the CIA. Another long article out of Newsday that I briefly touched last week, Syrian drug dealer linked to North Arms Network. And a friend sent me the entire article from Newsday. It was reprinted in part in the San Jose Mercury. This one's by Newt Royce, and this has to do with Mr. Secord and Oliver North working with a multi-millionaire, Mansour Al-Qassar. He's from Syria, and he supplies the arms for Abul Abbas, the man who masterminded the Achille Lara hijacking, and where, again, another American was killed, and Abbas enjoys the prominent position of floating around with the various arms dealers and radicals in the business of supporting PLO and terrorism throughout the Middle East. This is a long story from Newsday, and I will detail that for you. Another one, terror suspect dealt in Contra Arms linked to reputed terrorists. This is a similar article to the one based upon the Newsday article about Oliver North and General Secord and the relationship to the terrorists in the Middle East and Achille Lara. Another story from the San Francisco Examiner, April 21st, sources tell of CIA's Contra drug smuggling links. And again, this is an update of one that came out different than the one April the 6th. In exchange for help in arming the Contras, the CIA helped Miami-based drug smugglers move their cargo into the United States from Central America. And this again goes into Mr. Morales, who said this was George Bush's baby, and Bush's name comes throughout all of these articles. It'll be interesting to see what develops in the Contra-Iran story and investigation as people come forward in these operations and are willing to give more details. Besides Attorney General Edwin Meese being under the fire, Mr. Webster, the FBI director who wants to be CIA director, is also mentioned in many long articles. One in the Washington Post, April the 9th, 1987, how Webster had warnings about Oliver North, how he forgot the October memo, how he ignored the Contra data and withheld information about Oliver North. My time is up, and I would like to list for you about 20 or 30 of the very important articles coming out, but we don't have time. And I felt it was more important to describe that little private organization worked up by Casper Weinberg and the Defense Department to show how they kill and send the killers and disassociate themselves from the agencies that the United States government have set up, but work inside the agencies. Of course, we'll be doing more on Iran-Contra for years to come, but in the meantime, that's all we can do this week. This is Mae Bressel, and I'll be back with you some more next week to continue along the lines of watching these killers and assassins being exposed finally for what they really are.